Welcome to the Church of Conscious Harmony. Thank you for being here for worship. I know there's a lot of things you could be doing on a Sunday morning in Austin, so it is a blessing to see each of you here and to be together. Just a few announcements. First of all, if you're visiting for the first time, I'd love to meet you after the service. And there's a welcome table on the other side of the bridge where you walked in, and someone will be there to greet you and give you any information you may be interested in. Also, many of the folks that are wearing white today are being baptized. The baptism was postponed because of rain 2 weeks ago, but today we'll be going out to do the baptism and the communion at a property about a 45-minute drive from here. So we actually dunk them. So it's a wonderful thing that the community does. It's been a very meaningful experience. So I want to especially thank Mary Ann Best for her leadership of the baptism class. Look forward to that this afternoon. Also, next Saturday, June 9th, is a one-day centering prayer retreat. There's still space available. We really encourage you to go online to the church website and register. We're encouraging people to register for everything as possible. It's good stewardship on our part. It also really takes the stress level down for our retreat leaders who are preparing. So do pre-register. We'll welcome you if you haven't registered, but do give us the blessing of pre-registering online. It's very simple. There's two inserts in your bulletin today. One has quite a few offerings that are coming up. You might want to look at that and discover something for yourself. And also as a reminder, every Sunday our chants are in the bulletin. So if you don't know what we're singing, just pull that insert out and you can really sing along with us. It's a very special day in the life of the community. You'll find out later in the service. But I'm honored that our llama beans are coming in as I speak. Let's take a moment in the silence. Ask the Holy Spirit to bless your time in the service and to bless the time of those sitting beside you. May it be so. Amen.
Amen. Please sing, come and pray in us.
Come and pray in us.
Let's stand and join in singing the gospel in one word is love. Most gracious and loving Heavenly Father and Mother, giver of this and every moment, we are in awe of the gift we receive in moments like this. Pulled out of our day-to-day grind, we realize that you are calling us to feel your presence, to live your love, to feel your goodness, and to share the wisdom that is anointing each of us as we gather and worship. Bless this day and especially bless our Lama pilgrims and fill us with the joy that cannot even explain itself, but blesses the world as a fragrance. We ask this in your most holy threefold name, our family name, transcendent Father, omnipresent Son, immanent and dwelling Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, Amen. Please be seated. Is this everyone?
Almost.
Well, before you, you see our youth and leaders who will be going to the Lama Foundation on Wednesday. They'll be departing. Thursday. We bless you on Wednesday night. It's a long drive, but worth it. Just a little context. I've never been to the Lama Foundation. I've only heard Tim speak of it and have heard a couple of these blessings. But the point to remember is that Tim was sitting at the Lama Foundation under starlight night one night over 30 years ago. And it's kind of like lore in our community because he was sitting there and he had this deep three-centered wish to experience that kind of community that he was experiencing in a church. And he had a big wish. And that wish for that kind of community over time, and through so many of your efforts and combined wishes, came to form what this is at this very moment. So we can begin to have awe for the reverence of one man who had a powerful wish in three centers, maybe more than three centers, and anointed from above the grace that is manifested in this very building, the teaching, the history, the legacy that is embodied in these chairs and in this community, and that continues in each of these beautiful souls, these beings who get to go to Lama. And some of you have been there before. I've heard some of your testimonies, and we look forward to hearing that when you come back. But I want to stop talking and invite us to hear the aim of the group, and then we're going to pass the microphone along. And if you can each briefly state your own personal aim, and don't just listen up here, listen here to join with each of them in their aim so it's as if we're all going with them, okay? Brother Don.
Background about how we came up with this aim. Last night, all of these young people and these elders that you see up here came together to what we do, what we called an all-night vigil, and it involved dancing and walking and sharing, lots of sharing, and at the end of the evening, by the time we were warmed up enough, we got together and we combined all of our personal aims into one group aim. And then after that, we signed up for 30-minute slots all night long and would wake. We'd be awakened by the person who had sat for 30 minutes before us, and then that we'd get up and go down to Theosis Chapel. So starting at 11 o'clock last night till 6 o'clock this morning, there was somebody praying, and Theosis Chapel is a means of paying our for this trip in our spiritual way to prepare ourselves for what this means. And so this aim that you're about to hear is the culmination of last night's vigil and this year's intention. So who would like to hold the mic and lead us?
Okay. Embracing vulnerability, we are open to the spirit of love and joyful energy.
And my name is Don, and my personal aim is to remember to strive for balance between work and play and responsibility of maintaining a role and the responsibility of letting go of that role.
Hi, my name is Jax, and my aim is to feel the here now.
My name is John, and my aim is to feel the people and the environment there.
My name is Asa, and my aim is to connect with others and feel the energy in those connections.
My name is Zach, and this will be my fourth year at Lama. And my aim this year is to grow more rooted in my spirituality and my true self.
My name is Shannon, and this will be my fifth year, and my aim is to experience past Lama beings with new eyes and to be vulnerable.
My name is Kate, and this is my third year at Lama, and my aim is to let go of worldly desires and judgments and to live truly in the moment.
My name is Mary Sophia, and this will be my third year going to Lama, and my aim is to let go of negativity in order to become more centered.
My name is Matilda, and my aim is to find a deeper connection with an energy that's stronger than can be found on Earth.
I'm Helen, and my aim is to build a stronger connection with God more often.
My name is Corva. This will be my third year, and my aim is to be inclusive, loving, and open.
My name is Tracy, and this is my first year going to Lama, and I wish to joyfully accept everything.
My name is Sandra. This will be my fifth year to go, and my aim is to stay open and present.
My name's Melinda, and this is my third year to go, and my aim is joyful gratitude.
My name is Dakota. This will be my first time back in 12 or 13 years, and my aim is to breathe in the presence, letting go of all that isn't love.
My name is Stuart, and I'm going back after 2 years of not going to Lama. And my aim, coming under the authority of this role and giving myself in service to it, to radically abandon myself to the presence of God in nature, in each other, and in myself.
What an extraordinary group of people of aims. I have hope for our future listening to youth like this. Thank you very much for embodying what the Spirit is calling you into. I have in my hands Tim's beads that he gave me on our transition Sunday, which was a big moment for me, and they represent his life. If anything symbolizes Tim and his life in prayer and energy, it's these beads. So as we all raise our hands to these dear ones, we're going to give them a blessing on their way. So feel the energy of the community, and let's just join in this combined wish for their safety, for their high spiritual good and evolution as Christ. Holy Spirit, we know you're with these dear ones. Hover over them as they journey. Encircle them in love, reconciling any differences, conflict. Give wisdom for any unexpected circumstances or crises. And crack open hearts by the power of your love that sends them home changed, never the same, deeper into you. We ask this in Christ. And all God's people said, Amen. You guys have a great journey. Yeah.
Please join me in listening for God's word. Our reading is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14. On the first day of the unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare for you the Passover?" He sent two of his disciples and he said to them, "Go into the city and a man will meet you carrying a jar of water. Follow him. Wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large upper room, furnished and ready. Make the preparation for us there." The disciples then went off, entered the city, and found it just as he had told them. And they prepared the Passover. While they were eating, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, gave it to them, and said, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, and they drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which will be shed for many. Amen, I say to you, I shall not drink again the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Then, after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
Last week, we talked about, began the message that this church exists as something of a hospital or a halfway house for people, for us, who are seeking freedom from that which enslaves us. And there are all sorts of ways that we are enslaved. And I talked about how the power of the spirit of fear sometimes gets a hold of me. And we talked about the remedy for that being the spirit of adoption that leads us into worship, to cry out, Abba. Well, this day, I'd like to talk a little bit about how this church exists as a restaurant that feeds the hungry and the thirsty. Churches are a lot like restaurants, if you think about it. We're offering a meal, not of the physical body, but a meal of influences, a meal of ideas, a meal of emotions, a meal of presence that feeds us in a way, that satisfies our hunger and our thirst. Churches all around the world are different kinds of restaurants, fast food churches, high-end churches, churches that give you indigestion, churches that put you to sleep, and churches that help you become more real. And this is a church that aims for that. And as a part of that process, it's kind of like a big family table. Big family table eating. You tell your stories, you talk, everyone's the same. I'm not wearing a clergy robe. There's no one special here. We're just all at the table together. Now, different people play different roles. There are people who have been in the kitchen. We just retired our cook. That's really bad. And, you know, the chef plays a role. The chef serves things up every Sunday, and people let the chef know if they don't like what's coming out. But it's not all about the chef. Every restaurant you go to, you know that it's a lot more about the chef. A lot of things like how clean the bathrooms are, or how easy it is to get on the wait list. All sorts of things are comprised of making a good restaurant. In the same way, all sorts of things go into making a good church, a healthy church. Well, this community is a very unique community. We hinted at it last week when I read a little bit from the bylaws. Remember when I said that this is the most extraordinary and I think one of the most important statements that has ever been written in the history of Christianity regarding a church? When I read this, the Church of Conscious Harmony exists for the sole purpose of facilitating the spiritual journey for people who want to make God devotion the center of their lives. I stop there. I'm going to finish the sentence in just a little while. But this church is a very unique and wonderful community. It plays an important role in the evolution of Christianity on this planet. And we don't want to inflate ourselves by thinking that too much. But when there's a good restaurant in town, you're grateful. And when it's, for example, a very particular kind of thing, like organic, macrobiotic, or vegan, you give thanks all the more because you can go all around the world to find a good organic, macrobiotic, vegan restaurant. And when you find it, your heart rejoices. And that's what happened when I found this church. My heart rejoiced because I saw its goodness. And I know so many of you feel the same as well. There's a core menu for our community. And if I could just summarize it like this. The core menu has several entrees that are never going to go off the menu. And here they are. Silence. Scripture. Save a service. Work, the work. And worship. Silence. Scripture, particularly Lectio Divina, save a service, the work, and worship. Five core entrees that are never, as far as I know, ever going off the menu. Now, maybe we'll add a little more Tabasco sauce or a little more salt. You get the idea. Things shift a little bit. But those are the core items on the menu here. And they get expressed in different ways. Well, today I just want to take a moment to read a couple things and to talk about the Eucharist, because the Eucharist is the center of our worship. The Eucharist is what holds our worship like an axle. Everything rotates around this table, as far as I'm concerned. The Eucharist is what holds our community and this worship service together. Now, talking about the Eucharist, I read a poem, a poet said it this week this way, is like trying to grow an oak tree from oak furniture. Taking furniture and hoping to get an oak tree. Talking about the Eucharist is just that silly, almost. It's almost impossible to try and articulate what the Eucharist means at a theological level. It is a great mystery, and more than anything, as all of us know, it is an experience. The Eucharist is a spiritual experience that evolves and grows with us and meets us wherever we're at, whatever place we're at, whatever level of understanding or level of being, wherever we might be at in our journey, it meets us there and takes us forward, deeper and higher, however you want to talk about it. The Eucharist is extraordinary in so many depths of dimension. So let's talk a little bit about the Eucharist with the understanding that words can't do it justice. And if that's the caveat, then we can proceed in humility and faith. I want to read from a book by the name of Bruno Barnhart. He was a mystic and a monk at New Camaldoli Hermitage. He passed away this past year, a little before Bernadette Roberts died, and they were friends. Bruno is also a mentor to Cynthia Bergeau, has had a big impact in Cynthia's life. So when you read Bruno, you're reading a being who has fed a lot of people, who have fed us. He has fed Bernadette, and he has fed Cynthia Bergeau, and many we don't even realize. He has fed Tim and Barbara, he's fed myself, and he has fed many of the monks that live at New Camaldoli, including its current abbot or prior named Cyprian Consiglio. Cyprian was a mentee to Bruno. Enough about Bruno. In this book, Second Simplicity, he's beautifully articulating how Christianity needs to recover our bodies and matter and the earth and incorporate our bodies and matter and the earth back into our spirituality. But in particular, he's got this section on Eucharist and evolution. And he draws upon the thinking of Teilhard de Chardin. So just take this in, it's not very long. The Christic divinization of all things, Teilhard suggested in his earlier works, occurs through the Eucharistic action. And this is now Teilhard, he's quoting Teilhard, who prays, "Since first, Lord, you said, 'This is my body,' not only the bread of the altar or table, but to some degree everything in the universe that nourishes the soul for the life of spirit and grace has become yours, has become divine. It is divinized, divinizing, and divinizable. Every presence makes me feel that you are near me. Every touch is the touch of your hand. Every necessity transmits to me a pulsation of your will. The world in its becoming is Eucharist. But the offering you really want, O Lord, the offering you mysteriously need every day from each of us to appease your hunger, to slake your thirst, is nothing less than the growth of the world born ever onwards in the stream of universal becoming. The body of Christ, and hence the Eucharist, is the total human and cosmic unity." Read that again. "The body of Christ, and hence the Eucharist, is the total human and cosmic unity. Nothing, Lord Jesus," he prays, "can subsist outside of your body. All of us inexplicably exist in you, the universal milieu in which and through which all things live and have their being." Teilhard's unitive passion for matter has grown to the dimensions of this vision of the universe as body of Christ. Teilhard knows this truth of the great convergence to be the essence of his own message. And so when we pray, in the name of Transcendent Father and Omnipresent Son, All-Present Son, this is what we're basically affirming, that the whole thing, the whole shebang, has been divinized, has been turned into Eucharist, is being turned into Eucharist. Now, I know by your looks, this is really heady. So you have to take it into your experience. And no one can tell you about a unit of experience. A unit of experience is experienced. Now, I haven't been to Lama Foundation, but I had an experience at a place called Camp of the Woods in upstate New York in the Adirondack Mountains. In an inexplicable unit of experience, I encountered the Eucharist changing my life that has brought me to this point. I was listening to the word being preached by a preacher. He did an altar call. My last thought, I was up in the upper balcony, there were wooden stairs. My last thought was, I'm wearing cowboy boots, this is going to be noisy, walking down the wooden stairs. And all of a sudden I found myself at the bottom of the wooden stairs, on my knees, as if cracked open, weeping tears. And all I knew is that someone was praying for me. They put their hands on my back as I wept. I had always been a God-fearer, a God-connected guy. But there was something at that point in my life, at 17 years old, where the day before, the very day before, I was up on a nearby mountain looking out at the beauty of the Adirondacks. And I was crying out to God I didn't know. Because my heart had been broken open by a girl that didn't like me. She liked the son of the owner of the Dallas Mavericks. I get it. And I was crying out. You know, so God used relationships in my life. What does God use in your life? But I was crying out to God up on top of this mountain, and I said, if you show me more of who you are, I'll give you my whole life. And nothing happened. There was no voice. There was nothing that occurred in that moment. But it felt like I had unloaded a lot, got a lot off my chest. The very next morning, this altar call comes, an altar call that never happened in that community, ever. I don't know if it's happened since. And I walked down, cracked open, tears weeping, and I got in touch with the Eucharist without ever taking it in. That was Eucharistic. That's Eucharistic unit of experience through creation, through the Word, through the Scripture, through this body, surrendering more. And my life just got magnetized to God, magnetized to the Lord Jesus Christ, magnetized to the Scriptures. That afternoon, a new conscience was in me. Someone asked me to go do something, and instantly a spirit pinged me. Is that really what you want to do? And instantly, I had a hunger to read and know Scripture deeply. And trust me, I was the junior prom king, interested in playing volleyball and girls. I was not interested in reading at all. And that changed in a second. The Eucharistic encounter in that conversion experience changed my life. And I'm very, very grateful for it. So what is this mystery that we partake in and come forward to like an altar call every Sunday? What is this presence that's calling to each of us to see beyond the physical dimension the transcending power of spirit that infuses physical matter? This is bread and this is juice. It's not changed. I'm not a magician, but there's a recognition of a different dimension, a different energy, a different perspective that is very present through our participation in the words that Jesus spoke and landed on this planet, like a flag being landed on the moon. We've been here. This is my body. This is my blood. He's landing this energy on this planet and transforming it forever. Just like his blood landed on this earth on Golgotha and transformed this earth, breaking the system of scapegoating and needing to make other people wrong so you feel right, and using violence to such a degree that you protect yourself from people you're afraid of. It's finished. Well, now, it's not finished then. Obviously, 2,000 years of death and mayhem and sickness and disease still continues. But it's the D-Day, friends. It was D-Day. And V-Day took a long time to come, over a year, maybe. D-Day. This is my body. This is my blood. It is finished. These things are all connected. D-Day, friends. Bringing about the possibility of the transformation of this cosmos and this planet and each of our lives more into the divinization that God wishes for, as far as we know, for this cosmos. Now, I'm not the only person to be thinking in these ways. Obviously, Teilhard de Chardin is. But our friend and teacher, Ilya Delio, who's been here and will come again, I pray. The church tithes to her organization. We tithe 10% of what is given every month. And I saw the check last month going to Ilya. And I said, praise be to Almighty God that this church is communicating its influences and its food. We're doing home delivery for her. And her organization, may it flourish. And this is from her chapter, Sacred Secularity. Sacred Secularity, that's like saying physical, spiritual, spiritual, physical. Sacred Secularity. And she concludes this chapter this way. This is from her book, The Unbearable Wholeness of Being. The greatest danger of religion is to assume any type of sovereign power, because love always lives for the other and with the other. Everything and everyone who lives in love knows this simple truth. That is why the way forward to evolve is inward and across boundaries of difference. God is above, below, behind, and beyond the finite, because God is the divine milieu in which everything is related and relating. Love is what we feel when we become aware of our oneness with what we thought was separate from us. Love is what we feel when we become aware of our oneness with what we thought was separate from us. You ever been in a fight? Shannon, have we ever been in a fight? One? Love is what we feel when we become aware of the oneness after separation. You ever been in a fight? Work it out? You hated? And then you love. When we awake to this, it's very simple. Love is what we feel when we become aware, when the fear goes away, when the flight goes away, when those adrenaline hormones settle down. Love is what we feel when we become aware of our oneness with what we thought had been separate from us, a person, a place, a thing, an idea. Religion degenerates into religiosity when God is absolutized by constructing foundations that are purported to be immutable and unchangeable. When fixed structures cannot adapt to changing circumstances, excessive order paradoxically drifts towards chaos, which unexpectedly creates the conditions for the creative emergence of new patterns of order. The livingness of God disrupts and disfigures every stabilizing structure. Let me read that again. The livingness of God disrupts and disfigures every stabilizing structure. Now, we have to add in here, Ilya's not a work student. Destabilizes and defigures every personality, every eye that is opposed to love and wisdom and God, every expression of anger and negative emotion, it disfigures and deflates it. That's what God is wanting to do. Everything that we're holding up our life with, that we think is ours and that is our security, all our programs for happiness, destabilizing to bring us into a deeper life. It may feel like chaos for a moment, and then order, a new order emerges. I come down the altar call, crack open, give my life over, and a whole new life rises from the ground. The livingness of God disrupts and disfigures every stabilizing structure, thereby keeping the playful whole in movement. Doesn't always feel very playful, does it, when your life's falling apart or that center thing that you held onto falls down? Just when we think we have a certainty of God, divinity will slip out from under our evolutionary feet and, like the speed of light, elude our grasp to become for us the power of the future. So this is the power of the past, the power of this moment now, and the power of the future, faster than the speed of light. Consciousness is always faster than the speed of light because it's grounded in love, which comes before light. Love exists before all other beingness because God is love. Thank you, Ilya Delia. And this destabilizing structure that the Spirit is doing in our culture, shaking up Christian churches, shaking up the world. We live at a place where there is great turbulence, a great dying and a great birthing. It's scary. No one knows what's happening. No one knows what's going to come. We're redlining in every statistic. Okay. Okay. Destabilizing, deflating, it's coming for a reason. It's coming for transformation. We have to hold on to the courage and hope that the evolutionary spirit of God is birthing something even through what seems to be a falling apart, even through what seems to be a chaos. A beautiful new order emerging, a beautiful new opportunity arising. And so, to this end, I finish the sentence of the bylaws. The Church of Conscious Harmony exists for the sole purpose of facilitating the spiritual journey for people who want to make God devotion the center of their lives while living in the ordinary world without the aid of monastery walls. You see, in the past, people who wanted to live this life of God devotion and God-centeredness, this life centered around the Eucharist, centered around silence, they had to go to the monasteries. That was where people went. But today we have this incredible miracle unfolding, an evolutionary event where this many people want to make God the center of their lives, want to live in the silence, want to consent to the Spirit through the silence, want to order their lives and the chaos occurring in our lives by the order that is so peaceful and so profound right here in the Eucharist. It's a miracle that anyone wants to be here. And this is evolution. And this is the Eucharist, evolving the church, evolving Christianity. May God help us with humble hearts to bear the unbearable gift that we have been given. Bernadette Roberts is a plug. This is a plug for Bernadette's book, The Real Christ. One of her extraordinary chapters in here, it looks like an add-on, but it's not. It absolutely follows logically to what she's saying Christ is. It's chapter 28. It's her chapter on the Eucharist. I'm not going to read it. But I urge you to get a copy of this book, photocopy it. I'll give you a photocopy of this chapter if you want it. You just ask me. Her chapter on the Eucharist. It's extraordinary. And if you struggle intellectually with what the Eucharist is and how it fits into your spiritual journey or where you've come from on your spiritual journey regarding the Eucharist, I really encourage you to read this. You might find it a blessing. She has blessed me with wisdom and insight after insight. One or two practical things to take away for today, because this has been a teaching. This has been ideas. This is an entree of ideas that has been offered. I hope it feeds you. I hope it doesn't give you indigestion. And I hope it makes you want to come back for more, this good cooking. But the practical takeaway is that the Eucharist, this Eucharist, helps us remember the sacredness of your body and my body. Seems to me we live in a culture that has forgotten the sacredness of bodies and has profaned them in the pursuit of pleasure. This is very up close and personal. But the sacredness of each of our bodies, how we use them, what we put into them, what comes out of them, how we treat them. Spirituality can no longer get away with being inattentive to body. This is the temple. This is the temple. And secondly, the Eucharist helps us remember the sacredness of other people's bodies. Looking at bodies, watching bodies, easy to do in our culture. People we don't know, watching their bodies. How sacred is that? Seems like stealing. Our culture gives permission to use other people's bodies with the swipe, or this way, whatever it is. The Eucharist is here to make us holy, to turn us into itself, to turn us into the body of Christ. And to that end, Tim said he was inspired to write this. And I haven't talked to him much about this, but he, as far as I know, wrote this. It's taken from several different places, but let me just conclude our time with this. Pour out your spirit on these elements, that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body of Christ. Amen. Let's stand and give our hearts to song.
May our prayers rise like incense in your sight. May this place be
Take a moment in the silence and let the Spirit do its healing work in you. Perhaps there's something that needs to be released in this moment. And just give it over to God's Spirit. Amen. This is the time in our service where we take our tithes and offerings and gifts and remember the truth that God's love has always met and will always meet all our needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. Let's remember that together. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed we are to simply remember God. Thank you. Gratitude in our hearts for the gift of this community, for the blessing of Tim and Barbara Cook, for all who have fed us on our journey, for the teachings and witness of Father Thomas Keating and Bernadette Roberts. We thank you, and we ask that we would be good and great stewards of these gifts we have been given. Multiply these gifts and transform them into love through this community. And we dedicate these tithes and offerings to the victory of consciously chosen love in each of our lives and on this planet over the lie of separation and our useless acting out from fear. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Come to your table hungry. I come to your table hungry. I come to your table hungry. To be made new. To be made new. to be made.
Let us now rest in the silence for 10 minutes of centering prayer, which is a contemplative way of consenting to God's love, presence, and action in our lives. Please join me in praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let us continue in prayer together. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now and that we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray. And you who are giving us faith to pray in, that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements, that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and the blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our body and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and transform us in your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you. This is the body of Christ." When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me. This is the blood of Christ."
Now I eat this bread, now I drink this cup, now I eat this bread, now I drink this cup. Now I drink this cup and remember.
Now I drink this bread.
Living and eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ, for the glory of God our Father, for the glory of his kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and conclude our worship service in song.
I once was lost, but now
I thank each of you for being here, for how your body has contributed to us becoming the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. Let us be the body of Christ. Amen.
Amen.